This is the Community Forum, a public affairs presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation.
Are the children of illegal immigrants entitled to birthright citizenship? That has been recent policy, but is it constitutional intent? Amy Swearer is a senior policy analyst at the Meese Center for Legal and Judicial Studies at the Heritage Foundation. She joins us now to explore the issue. Amy, welcome. Amy, when we talk about the term birthright citizenship, explain for us what we mean.
The term birthright citizenship encompasses this concept of citizenship by virtue of being born in the United States. And to an extent, most people agree that there is a form of birthright citizenship under the 14th Amendment, namely that the children of citizens who are born in the United States are themselves citizens just by virtue of being born in the United States. Where we disagree is sort of outside that concept. Is it the case that we have a universal birthright citizenship? That is, everybody who is born in the United States is a citizen, regardless of, say, the immigration status of their parents, or regardless of whether their parents are also subject to a foreign power, regardless of how long they intend to stay in the United States. So that really becomes the dividing line, is where does birthright citizenship stop?
As we look at this, when we talk about immigration, there, of course, is legal immigration, there's illegal immigration. How many different categories of immigration are we talking about where birthright citizenship may or may not apply?
Right now, the United States has three general categories of foreign nationals in the U.S. So we have illegal aliens, who are those who have entered the United States illegally or who overstayed their legal visas, but they don't have legal status. We also have what are called non-immigrant aliens, which would be anybody who is on a temporary visa, whether it's a student visa, a tourist visa, a temporary worker's visa, where they are allowed to be in the United States for a specific purpose, for a specific time frame, and then after that, they have to leave and go back, if not to their original countries, they at least cannot stay in the United States any longer. And then we have this group called immigrant aliens, also known as lawful permanent residents. And these are immigrants who are here for long-term residency. They essentially take on many of the same rights and duties as citizens, and in fact, they're on their first step towards citizenship, because in order to become a citizen, you first have to be a lawful permanent resident. So this final category would be the only category of aliens in the United States that, under the 14th Amendment, under its original meaning, that we would say are also subject to birthright citizenship.
You referenced the original meaning of the 14th Amendment, but as it is practically applied today, Amy, is birthright citizenship being granted to all of those categories?
That's right. So it's essentially been a longstanding U.S. policy to treat as citizens anyone born in the United States, with a very, very limited exception of the children of foreign ambassadors. But other than that, longstanding U.S. policy is if you're born in the United States, we don't ask any other questions. We treat you as a citizen.
As we look at how that policy is being implemented and all of this discussion and debate has really re-energized as a result of the number of individuals who are coming over the nation's southern border, most if not all of them illegally. So when we talk about birthright citizenship, how does it apply, or does it apply, to those folks who are coming over the border and claiming that they're seeking asylum or just coming illegally across the border?
Well, when we look at it under current U.S. policy, I think clearly the U.S. has, if at least for the last couple decades, there's been no question, our policy has been to treat them as citizens. But that's very, very different from how this would have been analyzed under the Citizenship Clause as it was originally understood. So the Citizenship Clause, its main purpose was to give citizenship to the freed slaves and their children who were lawful permanent residents. And in fact, it was very clear in the legislative history that Congress intended a quite narrow definition of birthright citizenship because they did not want to extend it to individuals who were also subject to a foreign power or who did not have an unqualified allegiance to the United States. For example, Native Americans who owed allegiance to their tribal powers, but also to what we would consider tourists today, people who are only here temporarily, who intended to go back to their country of origin and didn't really have a permanent settled allegiance to the United States. Those people were specifically intended to be excluded from citizenship.
President Trump created a controversy, as he often does when talking about immigration and other such issues. He made the comment that he wanted to end birthright citizenship, and this, of course, triggered a debate over the constitutionality of his ability to do that. So in terms of what you've just outlined was the history of the legislation, the history of the 14th Amendment, when the president says he wants to end birthright citizenship, is he in fact able to do that?
Well, I think first it's important to clarify that when the president says he wants to end birthright citizenship, it appears that what he means is he wants to end universal birthright citizenship, that he wants to limit it to its original meaning under the 14th Amendment, and not to say no one ever has birthright citizenship. So first, I think that's important. Second, I think it's also important to understand that ultimately the best avenue is for Congress to take care of this and to clarify who is and is not subject to the complete jurisdiction of the United States. But that being said, because it isn't very clear right now who is or is not a citizen based on statutory definitions, the president, in good faith, could absolutely tell executive agencies, look, this is our good faith understanding of what the law is and what we need to enforce. And so from now on, this is how we're going to enforce the law. And that could be for purposes of, say, issuing passports or Social Security numbers. So that is an avenue he could take. But ultimately, this is something where Congress does need to step in for just the sake of clarity across the board and clarify that we are going to act in accordance with the original understanding of the 14th Amendment.
We have been talking with Amy Swearer, who is the Senior Legal Policy Analyst at the Heritage Foundation in their Mies Center for Legal and Judicial Studies. And Amy, tell us just a little bit about the Heritage Foundation. Also, where can folks go online to learn more?
To learn more about the Heritage Foundation, you can definitely check us out online at heritage.org. But the Heritage Foundation is a conservative-leaning think tank. Our goal is to help build an America where freedom, opportunity, prosperity, and civil society flourish. So ultimately, we want to formulate and promote conservative public policies. And part of that is we see ourselves outreach and teaching people. You know, this is what conservative policy looks like, and this is how it benefits you individually and America as a whole. And so that is our goal.
Amy Swearer of the Heritage Foundation. Amy, thank you for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
This has been a presentation of the Montrose Broadcasting Corporation. The views expressed on the community forum by our guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the moderator, staff, or management of this station.